money.
Let's talk money.
I don't have your money.
I know I'd be a lot happier with some extra cash.
Is this about money?
Obviously, this is all about money.
Oh, man, we got bills to pay, buddy.
With practical tips and a focus on scripture, let's talk money. With Dave and Reb. From More Than Enough. Real conversations about money for real people. Let's talk money.
Are you ready to talk money, Reb?
I'm ready to talk money.
That's good. Welcome to the show. Thank you so much for joining us. If this is your first time on the show, an extra special welcome from Reb and I. We're in the studio alone today, but I want to give a shout out to the folks at notmine.ca and Financial Discipleship Canada. Visit that website, notmine.ca. Tons of great resources that you can get from them. Our partnership with them is we have Ray on the show on a regular basis, but we just love that we can send you there for some great godly content around money and finances and a whole bunch of other stuff. So check it out, notmine.ca, and thank you to the group there.
Yeah, great. So what are we talking about today?
This is a topic that I would say happens every single day in our
world. Yeah. And it's been a topic. It's the wording that we have come to know and define. Mm-hmm. And I'm interested in a new perspective on the language we're using and what it means. But I know that we're not going to be like, what is that budget thing that guy, the TikTok guy, loud budgeting? Like, I don't think we're going to be a trendsetter on this change.
No. Okay.
No. Yeah. So.
Well, I think we can start here though. I think you can join us as listeners and say, you know what? We want to change the definition of something that we say almost every day. Are you ready for it?
Yeah. Okay.
Are you going to say it?
No, you can say
it. Okay. So many of us have heard the expression living from paycheck to paycheck. And there's a certain recognized definition there that tends to be negative. And so today, Reb and I were talking about that and going, I'm not so sure that's necessarily a negative expression, although it has negative connotations in the greater world. So we want to change that.
Right. So we talked.
Start a revolution.
We talked last week about being transformed by renewing our minds. Mm-hmm. So it's a shift in mindset. And sometimes I say to Dave, I think sometimes one of the things we try and do on the podcast is give new light, new language, new understanding to an old idea or something that we thought we understood. And I'll tell you why I went here, because this topic today was my idea, and because it's been on my mind for a while. Mm-hmm. So, but I want, before we dig into it, as we always do, we mention scripture, we talk about what did Jesus teach us? What is the narrative, that biblical narrative that, and the principles that underlie, what David and I believe, what we try and do with our life, not always successfully financially, but, you know, we've been on the journey with you for a long time.
And we're only on episode 382, and there are 2,350 verses that talk about money and possessions. So when we get to episode 2,350, that might be the last episode.
Yeah, maybe that's what we should say. We'll I don't know. That's way too long. No, we'll need some new blood in here, a new host or something. Well. Anyway, I was reading the other day, actually, in a I have a little booklet about heaven, the kingdom of heaven. And if anyone knows me, a listener has been through Unleashed, you know, this is kind of like, I don't know, a bee in my bonnet. Is that what they say? About the kingdom and about living for the kingdom and the narrative of the kingdom in our lives. It's not just about us accepting Jesus to get to heaven. It's about shifting our thinking that we belong to another kingdom. We serve a different Lord and King than what the world tells us. And it's a way of life. It's his kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven today. And so we talk a lot about that. So I have this little devotional by Sky Gitani digging into the, like, what does the kingdom of heaven mean? All of that. I've been on this search for a long time. And I'm finding more material on it now.
And you, but, know, you know what's funny is, you know, when you read through the Gospels, this is exactly the theme that if you look at it from a Jesus theme, what does he do? His entire, like, what do the Gospels say? Jesus teaching what it means to live the kingdom way.
Right. And it, and he turns it all upside down. I'm also listening to the Bible Project with Serena. And this year they're looking at the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, 6, and 7, which has been fascinating because Jesus just turns thinking upside down. And when it comes to money and possessions and our what grabs our heart, we have to understand that he's interested in turning our hearts and minds and thinking upside down, away from what the world does. And
more than half of the parables that Jesus did were about money and possessions.
And he talks about it so long ago because they were dealing with the same stuff we are. So anyway, there's so much around that. But why I'm getting there. Okay. So I'm reading Skye's book and he talks about evil and the problem of evil in the world. And that's, you know, some people are stumped by it. If God really loves us, why do bad things happen? We in the church have heard that question for a long time, but I'll get to the point. One of the things that is maybe Jesus doesn't address it always directly and give us like, here's the answer to that question. But he does acknowledge that evil is a problem, that it does exist, and that it's side by side to the kingdom. Mm-hmm. Like the kingdom of evil exists side by side right now to the kingdom of heaven that Jesus brought to earth and is bringing and will bring. Mm-hmm. And one thing that brought me such comfort, I guess, is he didn't dismiss evil. He didn't shluff it under the carpet. He doesn't say, oh, yeah, just, you know, get over it and, you know, your financial stress will go away. He's actually saying to us, yeah, in the world, you're going to have trouble, which it says in John 16, verse 33, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Yeah.
And then, of course, in Jesus telling it, teach us how to pray, Jesus. And Jesus says, deliver me from evil.
Yes.
Right. So, yeah. I mean, there is this, you know, John 16, where Jesus is saying, I am the way, the truth, and the life. That's John 16. But he's saying, you will have trouble and I have overcome the world. And yet he also says, deliver me from evil.
Right. And I guess I just brought me comfort and I wanted to share that because if some of you are feeling a little overwhelmed by your financial stress, and some of us are, as we're seeing at More Than Enough, be of good cheer, invite Jesus in. He's just knocking at your door, just kind of like he did to the door of Zacchaeus. Mm. I'm coming to your house today. Will you open your door? Will you open your finances to me? Because I've overcome the world and we can walk this through together. I also read in another book by Eugene Peterson, he just summed up the gospel and the good news like this, that God the Father stood and stands in covenant with us, in covenant promises, that Jesus came and stooped down and became one of us and was sacrificed his life for us. So he stands with us, he stoops down, and he stays. His spirit dwells in us when we walk with Christ, and we are not alone. And I just love those three words. You know, he stands with us, he stoops down, and he stays with us. And I just thought it was very encouraging. And maybe some of you are just, it's just so hard right now financially, but if you can look up, if you could turn your eyes towards heaven and just say, Jesus, help me. I just want to believe that this is true about you. How do I do this? He's just interested in coming and helping and walking with you.
And so, I want to read, if I can, I know I'm taking it kind of out of context, But this is what John 16, the end of verse 32 and into verse 33 from the NIV version says. And I just love how this says. This is Jesus talking, and he's basically telling the disciples, maybe I'll back up to the top of verse 31 or verse 32. He says, "A time is coming, and in fact has come, when you will be scattered, each to your own home. You'll leave me all alone." So you might be feeling alone. And Jesus is going, I know that I'm going to feel alone. But then he says, yet I'm not alone, for my Father is with me. I've told you these things that you may have peace. In this world, you will have trouble. But take heart, I have overcome the world. And just let those words sink in a little bit, because what we know about the area of money, what we know about the area of, we don't want to display all of our money stuff to everybody. We mm-hmm. often feel alone. We often feel like mm-hmm. Nobody else can know this. Nobody else can help me. I can't share this. I'm the only one who's ever gone through all of this stuff. And what this verse says is Jesus says, I can identify with your loneliness.
Yeah.
But remember that the Father, I'm not alone. The Father is with me. And then, of course, we can just jump fast forward not very long. And Jesus says, hey, you'll never be alone, because I'm going to deposit my Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. The Spirit of the triune God is going to live in you. You will never be alone. You will be in communion with God the Father. And I am going to tear the veil between the outer world and the Holy of Holies. I'm going to tear that in half so you can enter into the fullness of the presence of God. That's what Jesus is saying here, and that's what he did at the cross.
And that's what we walk with him daily. So that isn't such an encouragement, even when it's hard, right? The topic of living paycheck to paycheck, I went and Googled it. And of course, Dave Ramsey has a whole set, has on his Ramsey Solutions, someone's written an article, how do you not live paycheck to paycheck? Because what we've met up till now is that living paycheck to paycheck means you spend all your income on your monthly living expenses, like your rent, mortgage, utilities, whatever, and you have no money left over, and you can hardly wait to get paid again, because finally payday's here, then you can pay your bills. Maybe a few days late, you can put gas in the tank, and then, okay, it's pizza night, so let's get a pizza. And then your paycheck's gone again, and then you're waiting for 2 weeks or the month till you get paid again before you can do anything else. And that is what we've defined as living paycheck to paycheck. But I want to say that we can live paycheck to paycheck and it be not a bad thing if we have a plan and if we give every dollar a name. So every time we get paid, that dollar amount, we have named every place it's going to go, to the debt, to our savings account, to groceries. And is that a bad thing?
So, I mean, talking about the redefinition of that expression, living paycheck to paycheck, and saying, we all live paycheck to paycheck, essentially. I mean, when you really think about it, the question is, and this is what the connotation is currently, that I run out of money before the time that I, so before I can get to the next paycheck, I'm already out of money. And what we're saying is we really want to redeem that to say, yes, we want to see you go from one paycheck to the other, and we want to see you manage paycheck to paycheck, and we want to see that money managed, and so that you are preparing for, down the road, or that you, again, we call that savings, that you are anticipating some of the current expenses, and you're saying, okay, this is the timing when I'm going to buy that thing, whatever it is,
So maybe we should call it, I just wrote it down here, maybe we should call it managing paycheck to paycheck.
Managing paycheck
to paycheck. Right, because that is what we're saying is different about the definition. When we're thinking, oh, I'm living paycheck to paycheck, well, it's actually good for you. You have a paycheck that you're going to live with till your next paycheck. Except the connotation, it has been a negative thing because we're running out of money. But we want to encourage you while we're learning to trust God and walk with God and understand that He's with us, as we've just suggested, that hard things happen, but Jesus has overcome the world and overcome the hard things. Is that idea that we need to do a little bit of our part and make a plan and give every dollar a name. And when we give every dollar a name, we may not have much left before we get paid again, but actually we have put money in our savings account.
You've built up your emergency cushion. You've planned your giving.
Right. Yes, it's a plan. That idea that we've always defined it as is just this, it feels like there's no plan. But then I would say, Dave,
can I just interject?
Yeah, because I'm thinking that sometimes people do plan.
So again, in this, I know there's some statistics out there in the U.S. I don't have the Canadian statistics. I know Dave Ramsey mentioned 78% of Americans feel like they're living paycheck to paycheck. And you know, looking at that and recognizing, again, there's like this community psyche around, is it such a terrible thing to live paycheck to paycheck? What we do inside of that paycheck is really the important thing. And that's what we're talking about today. You know, so, and more than enough, we say a couple of things. We talk about facing your finances. Financial awareness creates empowerment, F-A-C-E. That's the acrostic. And we're going, so the kind of step one is you have to face your finances. And I can say this from an anecdotal standpoint, when I meet with clients for the first time and when our team meets with the clients for the first time, often there is a lack of awareness. I don't know where it's all going. I just know I get paid on Friday and by Tuesday, the money's gone. And I don't know. So part of that financial awareness is saying, where are the leaks? Where is the money leaking out that you're not getting the full value that you want out of your paycheck? And that can be debt. So, okay, we got to eliminate debt. I'm sure Dave Ramsey is one of his things. This is going to be, you got to get rid of debt. That's a leak in your financial boat, right? The financial awareness piece is really step one to say, okay, how do I identify? We talked about making a plan. We don't like the word budget. I like the word plan because I can say, hey, for the next week, these are the expenses that we're going to spend, and I'm going to stick to that, and I'm going to plan what I spend, and then I'm going to spend what I plan. Those are some really key foundational things when we talk about living paycheck to paycheck. And if you're not doing those, then I can tell you almost unequivocally that you're going to have leaks and you're going to feel like, wow, the money just went out. So I don't know where it went. When you feel that way, then we know that, okay, there's some work to do in those foundational pieces. And get aware and create a plan and plan what you spend. Once you reach that, then we can go, okay, what does that, you know, how do we move money? You know, we can identify, are there too many fixed expenses? You know, are our fixed expenses too high? That's a real challenge right now for a lot of people, is groceries and gas.
I know what we paid for groceries the last little while. I'm like, woo!
Groceries and gas and rent and like, you know, even, you know, all of these expenses that have increased or changed. So there's some of those that we call those the fixed expenses that are really difficult to change unless you make a dramatic lifestyle change. But then there's things like streaming services. There's things like cell phone bills. There's things like, you know, technology is a big one for sure in terms of, is there some leakage there? Do you really need the subscription for all five streaming services that are out there? Or can you just say, you know what, we're going to reduce all of them and we're just going to watch the one? Okay, that's a decision that is not really a lifestyle decision, like I have to move to a different location to get better rent.
Right.
That's the difference.
And I mean, you guys know, if you've listened to us, there's all kinds of shows on building an emergency cushion. You can come to the Financial Fitness Seminar, which is this month. Mm-hmm. It is, go to our website. You can click on the link and you get an Eventbrite. It's online. Dave does it. It's around, it's the fourth Tuesday of June. Mm-hmm. So
northernenough.ca, top right corner.
Yes.
Is where you'll see that.
You'll see it. So you can come to that. We can help you. Get aware. We can help you, teach you to, with some basic financial understanding of how to track your spending and all of that. We have an eFit program now where you can sign up with us for 6 months. You get e-learning emails, 12 of them, 13 of them, maybe now it's turning into, but, you know, you can do some work, but it does take some intentionality. And it also takes intentionality. I was talking to one of our clients. We were talking about their walk with God. And Emily, this woman is struggling maybe to spend time with God to bring her finances to the Lord. Mm-hmm. She's getting on the financial date rhythm. She's understanding the importance of the emergency cushion. And I'm like, and this is the same thing. There's an intentionality we have by bringing it to God as well. So living paycheck to paycheck, giving every dollar a name is saying, God, help me give every dollar a name. And mm-hmm. as we go along and we see, God, I'm short. What do I do? You know, we're hearing more people taking side jobs on weekends. You know, like
I love about this though, and you know, there's becoming aware.
Okay.
There's making a plan. There's, you know, there's that component of I'm doing what I can do. And you know, this is where as a coach and what we do with our team at More Than Enough, you know, we'll come alongside and sometimes we'll identify some of those holes or we'll work to say, are these some of the changes you can make? But here's what I love about scripture and here's what I love about God is we can go all the way back to the Joseph story. And God gives Pharaoh a heads up. There's going to be 7 years of drought.
Right.
And here's what the Pharaoh does. This is, you know, an ungodly man, but obviously there's some wisdom there. He says, I've got these dreams and I am convinced that they're really important. I have no idea what they mean, but I am convinced they're really important. Joseph speaks the interpretation of the dream from wisdom that he gets from God. And really, we can actually go to God and say, God, what should I do when I know that this is my situation now and this is what's happening maybe down the road? In Pharaoh's case, they had this prophetic dream that says, you know, this stuff is going to happen. He could have ignored it. He could have said, that was bad pizza. And I don't get it. I don't understand. And I'm just going to forget about it. But he didn't. And then God gave the answer. He says, okay, practically, you're going to take 5% during the good years. You're going to store those up in barns. You're going to make sure so that when the drought comes, you're going to be able to open up those barns and you're going to have enough. And there's going to be enough for everybody. In fact, there was enough for everybody. And other people from other countries came. And that's how Joseph's family finds himself. So you know the story. But do not ever be shy about saying, Lord, I've done the plan and I'm working on the emergency cushion and can you give me some creativity on how to create wealth? And Deuteronomy says, it is your God that gives you the ability mm-hmm. to create wealth. And so that might be, again, you don't have to chase after the next scheme. You don't have to chase after, but you can, and we're going back to the John 16 verse, God is with you. He is walking with you and he knows that there are stresses, that this world has trouble, but be of good cheer and be at peace. And I think, you know, peace is a marker point for your journey with God in money is to say, when you are making a decision and you feel at peace about it in the presence of the Lord, or you're asking him a question, how do we generate more money? Or Lord, give us favor with the job we have that there can be an increase there, or whatever that prayer is.
Or I was thinking even you might call some of the credit people that you owe money and you can sometimes people or organizations are willing to mm-hmm. take a reduction in payment or give you a reprieve for a month or two. There are things you can do. in this mm-hmm. journey, and God will direct you. We have seen it over and over again in people's lives, in our own lives. And we are not saying that we're going to end up with a ton of prosperity or what we think is prosperity.
Well, I love this. It goes back to what we're talking about today. We're still going to go back to living from paycheck to paycheck.
Right.
Right. But inside that paycheck, the picture looks a little bit different.
Right.
Right.
Because
we now have some savings, or now we're intentionally creating some margin so that we can have savings and mm-hmm. we can tell our money where it needs to go instead of just having it leak out all over the place. And, you know, it's pizza night. So guess what? My stomach is telling my wallet what to do. That's never a good thing when your stomach tells your wallet. Right?
I mean, that's one thing we often say is we want to tell our money where to go, not have our money tell us what to do with it. And I guess it's having a nice firm glass jug mm-hmm. where we're creating a boundaries for our money and saying this is the cup I'm pouring into now. And sometimes you will have to go literally week by week while you're learning this pace, this managing of mm-hmm. your paycheck to paycheck, of telling it where to go. You may have to do this weekly. You may have to cry out. We've had those seasons where we didn't have the income to cover the needs of our household. And we took that to the Lord, and he answered in some kinds of crazy ways.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah. And I, you know, you mentioned you may have to, and I would say you definitely have to manage the resources you have. Yes, I understand that if you have, you know, more margin, you know, we like to say the margin is the whites on the edge of the page, and I'm living kind of in this 75% of the middle of the page, and I have margin on the outside of the pages. Yeah, I can draw kind of and move it a bit, and it has zero or very little consequences. But for most of us, we need to realize that we're managing money every week for the rest of our lives.
And it is paycheck to paycheck.
And it is paycheck.
So our encouragement is that you can say, yeah, I'm managing my money paycheck to paycheck. I'm living paycheck to paycheck, and I'm telling it where to go, and every dollar has a name. Mm-hmm. And that's the new Dave and Reb definition of living paycheck to paycheck, is managing it with boundaries and good space in mind with the Lord, because he has promised that we could be of good cheer because he's overcome what's hard for us. All right, Father, thanks so much for today. Thanks for notmine.ca for sponsoring this beautiful show. Thank you for language that we can talk about money. And thank you that we have the privilege of managing our money paycheck to paycheck in a way that honors you. Help us do this, Lord. Amen.
And I want to leave you with a quote today from Ken Nerburn. And this is one you can just ponder. Ken says it like this. He says, debt defines your future. And when your future is defined, hope begins to die. And we have a hope in Christ. And so you can see, as we manage from paycheck to paycheck, we want you to have hope in Christ that he is walking with you and will give you everything that you need to get to literally the next paycheck. So join us next week when we talk money.
Let's Talk Money is a division of More Than Enough Financial Fitness, where God is transforming hearts and bringing hope for today and freedom for tomorrow. For more information or to comment on today's show, please visit morethanenough.ca.